You know, I've said that thing enough times for it to be that if the day comes and I try to do the opposite, God will make sure it doesn't happen. Because I've said it so many times. I've said it for many years. Seek the Lord when he may be. When? Don't call me when God has gone missing. Me, I'm looking for God. You're calling me to where's God? How? Seek the Lord while he may be. You won't talk. Seek the Lord when he may be. Call upon him while he's. Don't come talking to me when he can't be found. Am I a magician? Oh God. Come. How? How is that? God has left. You now start saying, Hello, sir. I heard you know where God, you have God's number. It's the same number I gave you. It's the same number. It's that same number I gave you that time. Seek the Lord while he's around. Look for God when he's around. This is when God may be found. This is when there's peace. When there's peace, that's when to find God. Not in the flood of great waters, you will not come near him. Have you not read? You will not come near him. He said so. If you don't like history, read your Bible. Listen, I'm not saying you should like history. Read Bible history. Where do you find it? Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. Read it. Sit down, pick the book of Chronicles, and read through. Today is a nice day. When you leave this church, you go and lie down, eat, relax. Read it like a novel. Don't read it in King James, so it won't stress you. If you have problems with reading King James, read it in any other translation. Read the book of Chronicles. There are two of them. Read the story. Just read it. Flow. See how things go. When God may be found, when he's missing. You see it. It's there. There's nothing new under the sun. So there's nothing that will happen in our Nigeria and any part of the world that has not happened before. And every time I say things like this, I have to qualify it. As I'm talking about, trouble, there may be trouble. You say, God forbid, God forbid. I agree, God forbid. It may not happen in my lifetime, my children's lifetime. But that's a prayer I do not believe. That's like saying, may Jesus not be born. Or may the resurrection not happen. As may rapture never occur. Really? How is that going to happen? It's prophesied. It must happen. It will happen. So what do we do? You comply. While there's time, you comply. Don't be ridiculous. I don't know why people like tempting the Lord their God. I have no clue. I've been foolish in my life. I've been slow, tardy, negligent. All of that I've done. But to be as if you're going, what can you do? Do your worst to God. Really? How is that meant to end? God does not even need to do his worst or any bad thing. He just needs to withdraw his best. You're already in trouble. He doesn't even need to do anything to you. He just has to withhold. Don't joke with God. Be serious. This life, this earth, this our existence is in someone's hands. I want to tell you that as of a week ago or two, a week, parts of Vancouver, Canada, was underwater. Lots of dead people. I haven't checked it out since then. Lots of dead people. Water killing people. No electricity. Trouble. They're flying in. You couldn't travel by road or anything. They're using helicopters and planes to lift people. They had to lift people out. They weren't lifting people with civilian airplanes. They're lifting people with military. It was like war. So when I say, there may be trouble, you start thinking, how can there be trouble? This is Canada that you and your family have been trying to go to. It's Canada I'm talking about. A developed country. A first world country. That's what I'm talking about. If all the advancement couldn't protect them in that part where there's that problem, what do you say again? You know, we've had multiple visions, other dreams and stuff about gun shooting, some for years, some, especially in the last year. Lots of shooting and shootings and trouble and violence and death, all of that. Is that something you want to see? No. Someone running and hiding. I mean, just today alone, I'm seeing multiple people in trouble and running and hiding. There's always the hiding dimension. There's always the hiding. Run and hide. Sequester yourself somewhere. Hide somewhere. Why? Is it God showing it to us? Is it our minds? Do we like thinking scary things? Do we watch horror films? At least the people in this church don't watch horror films and should not watch horror films. They've been told not to. So, why does it happen? You know, there are people, every time you say anything like this, they don't want to hear. You say it, God forbid. That's exactly what they did with Jesus. What did he change? Which is why I insist that everybody, once in a while, I like saying historical things. If you don't know what has happened, you keep believing, you are among the blindest people on earth. When you have no idea of what has happened, you should know what has happened. You make very bad mistakes if you never know what has happened. You need to know what has been. Your uncle came to this place. It's after he came, 2 days after he died. Your father's younger brother, the other uncle, went to that same place 2 days after he died. The youngest of the family came to that place 2 days after he died. Will you go to that place? What happens when you don't know? You go to that place. And 2 days after. History is important. Now, that doesn't mean there are situations. There are not situations where you will go to that place and break the power of that thing. Yes. But at least, don't you think you should know? Won't it help you prepare? Won't it help you go to God and say, God, this is what has been happening. Does it mean nobody in my family is meant to marry? When our people marry, they die 2 years later? What kind of thing is that? Does it mean no one should marry because the people in my family, when they marry, they die or they have no child? Does it mean I shouldn't marry because I won't have a child? No. Now that at least you know, then you know how to go to God and say, God, how do I break the chains? God, how do I fight the battle? God, how do I stop this thing? God, how? What's the thing doing this? And you get an answer. Then you go. Do you understand? You go prepared. Not bumbling in there like whistling. Then they carry you out on a stretcher. It's ridiculous. But the reason people often get into trouble is they don't know the past. Make sure you know the past. I'm not saying you know the past for everything. You ask your father and mother about everything. I'm saying you should know at least. Won't you know the basic past of Christianity? Won't you know the past of what has been in the earth? You should know. You have to know what has been. You have to know how things work, have happened. Don't act like I have no interest in knowing what has happened. Even if it's recent history. Some months ago, when we were looking at cities burning all around the world, in America, whole towns being burned down by fire, forest fires, looking at flooding, killing them. I kept saying to you, those places, are they fighting war? All these people dying. Is that not the number one country people want to go to? So who said that things are settled by where you are, what, this, that, or that they are not Christians? Are they not Christians there? No. If they have people that pray, who told you you pray like them? In every part of the world, there are people praying. There's always something happening, not just present prayer, past prayer. You must understand that there are things that have been ordained that will be. You do your part. And if God hears it, he averts it. If he says, no, dear, this one must be fulfilled. Josiah tried to avert the judgment. He saw the judgments that were prophesied and rose up and sought to avert it. Listen to me. This is scripture. Go and look at it. God was like, Josiah, well done. You're a good guy. You tried.
I've heard your prayer. I will not allow your eyes to see the disaster that will come on your land. Okay? Now, what would you think will happen because of that? You think it's after he died at a ripe old age? No. There was a clock. So God killed him when he was young. What kind of story is that? It's in the Bible. He died. He didn't grow old. Why? Because God had... No. The time for the judgment of your people have come. Hey, Josiah, I promise you, you will not see it. Did I promise you, you will not die early? So Josiah stands up and goes to war with Pharaoh Necho. Pharaoh Necho even tells him, go back. This attack, I'm coming to attack here, is your God that sent me. Come on, road. And I guess Josiah did what many Christians do. From where did God go from me to come and become the unbeliever? He died. He didn't come back. Pharaoh Necho lived. Josiah died. Wonderful Josiah. He was 7 years away. He became king. He's amongst the most fantastic kings. Israel. Beautiful guy. I know he's in heaven. God loved him very much. God said good things about him. But sorry, we are on the clock here. Please bring him in. They removed him from the road. So judgment will come and do that. There are things like that. You must know it. When you don't know, you walk into every problem that is kept on the road. You enter all. As if you're playing a video game where they say enter trouble. Bring trouble. Bring trouble. Bring trouble. Bring trouble. One trap after another, you're in. If there's trouble, you're in it. Are they arresting people? You are there. Are they beating people? You are there. Did they rob someone? You are there. Like, hey, sign me up. Don't be signed up for trouble. Be signed up for deliverance. When trouble is coming ahead of time, let them move you. Let them reorder you. Let them repost you. Let them redirect you. That's how it should be. I'm not speaking about Josiah now. I'm speaking about us as individuals. Josiah, trouble was coming. So God removed him from that trouble. You want to find this story? You find it in the book of Isaiah. I don't mean the story of Josiah. I mean what happened to Josiah. Many do not understand what happened to Josiah. This is what happened to him. Isaiah chapter 57. The righteous perish. Isaiah 57 verse 1. The righteous perish and no one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. That's what happened to him. God calls it taking away. Okay? I don't want you to think that was just my opinion. God takes away the righteous so they will not see certain things. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. Then the next verse. But you, come here, you children of a sorceress. All of you think the Bible is dry. Have you read it? You just finished with the righteous, they rest in peace. But come here, you children of sorceress, come here. You, I'll beat you to death. God constantly contrasts. There's two ways of living. There's a righteous life. Then there's God. The way God said, he said, I place before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Choose this side. Don't choose this side. Because you can choose either. Oh, may you not care. That's my mistake. May you not care. May you not have an attitude that says, what will be. No, what will be must not be. What will be if you continue to be the way you are. Make a change. Adjust. And it will not be. Even if God says, oh yeah, let me remove you. Lot, come, let me remove you. Lot, you are destroying this place. Come on, carry yourself. Leave now, you're delaying us. This is how God operates with the righteous. You read this in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. God is able to deliver the righteous. Chapter 3, 1 Peter 3. God is able to deliver the righteous. He wants to deliver people. It's people that decide, I don't want your deliverance. Like those sons-in-law of Lot that he went and told. He said, destruction is coming on this land. Come. They refused. They mocked at him. Say, carry your alarmist views. Every time you're talking, alarm, alarm. Every time, making people afraid. You know what I always promise people? When God begins to speak these things I'm saying, you will remember. That's the one I can assure you. You will not forget me. When you see it with your eyes, you will remember. Even if it's 15 years later. Gee, this is that one time like this in your one man. I went to that church one time or twice or so. Or five times. He said it. I can assure you, you will not forget. It is the last thing you do, you remember. As somebody told you, I'm not talking about heaven and hell. I'm talking about trouble and disaster that will make you want God desperately. And how am I saying, are we to escape these problems? By waiting on the Lord. That's what I am saying. You must be joined to God. You must treat God with regard. You must wait for the Lord. Again, using the illustrations I gave. But I will advise you not to be coming late for meetings. Those are the attitudes that make God not mind you. Because you're not waiting on the Lord. You need to wait. You should be waiting for Him. Why should the Lord wait for you? Why should He wait for you? Who are you? If mere men, you wait for a mere man, wait for one small person like this who has delayed your matter. Why should he wait? What on earth? But another way you wait on the Lord is by waiting till He gives you the go ahead to act. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. I'll read from verse 8. And Saul waited 7 days. Ah, he has tried now. 7 days. Me, I've not even waited 1 day before, 3. He waited 7 days. This is the thing about waiting. Some of God's children have waited a little. And then they say, God, I've tried now. I beg, I've tried. Let me handle it. Let me handle it. Don't worry, I can find a spouse. Don't worry. All right, let me take it from here. I can pick a spouse. It's not that we don't have eyes. That's when you start following that preacher that says, God has not told you that He will give you a spouse. Why did God give you eyes? Why did God give you a brain? Is it not to you? That's when you start liking that preacher. That's when you start disliking the other preacher you've always believed in. And start saying, this thing this man is saying. Hey, you hear what this guy is saying? I'll be there here. I'll be there here with this one they talk, man. This is it. This is my kind of preacher. Why is he your kind of preacher? Because he's saying what your itching ears want to hear. See, you have acquired itching ears. You want to hear a certain thing and you are hearing it. That's what itching ears are. You desire to hear certain things and you are hearing them. Itching ears are looking to be scratched. May you not have itching ears. May you have honest ears. May you have open ears that hear what is true. May you not have ears that want to scratch this side, this side, this side, this side. You've seen some people, when they put something in their ear, then they look extremely stupid. You haven't seen it? When they touch that spot, then they go. Some of you, when you want to scratch your ear, go and hide in a room. If you know that it's you, hide, bend down like this. You just stand in front of people. People are there. You just be like, have you seen a goat that has been roasted before? Where his tongue comes out. I can't even do it. Except they off this video camera. What on earth? That act, that place that's itching you, that makes you look like you want to go mad. That's what an itching ear is. So when you heap up for yourself, give me that scripture. It says they will heap up for themselves. Itching ears. Teachers. For the time will come. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when men will not tolerate sound doctrine, sound teaching, but with itching ears, they will gather around themselves teachers to suit their own desires. That they literally carry themselves and go. And say, this one, does he scratch that place? Ah, I'll come. Say, ah, if you hear what they preach, say, I'll come this Sunday. Then you carry yourself there. And they scratch it and you go, That's what it means. You hip up for yourself. It's not one you want. You look around for their messages. You pack it. It's not sound teaching. It is thorough scratching. But they scratch the right spots. You go to a church meeting where your pastor encourages you to have boyfriends and girlfriends. One of our people was in a church and says the pastor, and a guy was sitting with a girl. I don't know what, but the pastor said, hold yourself now till you go home. He knows they are not married though. What kind of joke is that? Till you go home. So, is that not permission from above to commit? I will be joking and every time and always giving the impression it's okay to be involved in immoral relationships. Many times because they are involved in. Would they be guilty alone? You want them to go to hell alone? Don't you know misery loves company? They say, find the scripture. You shouldn't. The point is that you mustn't allow for only teachers that satisfy you with what you want. God forbid that you look for preachers that give you what you want. You'd have to be really ridiculous. You should look for people that give you what you need. Not what you want. What do you need, madam? What do you need? Oh yeah, come, give out that small half bag of rice. Carry some tin tomatoes, a bag of salt. Do you know that there are people that have been found? Sometimes they take away the children from them, the US and other places. People so lousy that when they get food stamps, they go and pack coke and what do you call this? This thing in a tin. Chips. Pringles. Potato chips. They pack. That's what they use, the food stamps they got. That is, they give them this thing. Okay, go to a supermarket, collect food with it. They go and pack coke. Trash food like this. Trash. And pack and fill their house. And Smarties, chocolate, pile it. And that's what people eat. Instead of food. And they don't have food. And the children are so unhealthy. Teeth so damaged. That's what it is when you're looking for people that will scratch you where it's sweet. Mm-hmm. A little above. I'm hoping this man will talk about this one. Mm-hmm. That's the spot. May God deliver you from such things. Don't fall into those traps. You need sound teaching. The Bible says that the time will come when people will not tolerate it. So I don't think it's strange at all. Since I preach sound teaching all the time, I don't think it's strange when people listen to me. After a while, out of every 50 people that listen to me, only one stays. The 49 leave. Oh, I visit there sometimes, but I cannot make it permanent. I have my own church. Why did you leave it in the first place? Why? Because they want to, there have been people in our congregation, when it was time, around the time they want to marry, they leave. Why? They want to marry anything. I don't care if it's born again. I don't want anyone. They know what I will say. They know I will ask them, is this person born again? Have you been committing morality with this person? They know I'll ask. So they just sack themselves. They carry their body and leave ahead of time. They say, no, you don't have to find a place and be committed to it. So you'll marry us. Me, I've said I'll marry you, unbeliever, believer. After all, marriage is not for believers. Just I hope both of you will be unbelievers. Don't even I know you're a bit more serious, I'll look at you and say, are you serious at all? I doubt I'll sign your death warrant. Because if you have the devil for a father-in-law, your future is not bright. You know what the advantages of not being prophetic is? You don't have too many concerns. When you're prophetic, you see all kinds of things. You see it. Sometimes you see it today, happens the next day. So even if I say, no, there's no problem. A few times in my life, I've tried to go on and do something without, okay, oh, fine. You're disturbing me. It's no problem. You can go. You can travel. You can. Every time I do that. As you have one dream, it will be one revelation, I'll get one prophetic word. It won't be long. So you have to pause. Why? Because I've made a commitment years ago that I'm going to only speak what God says. Now you have to tell them, if I don't tell you this thing to seem somehow, I'll be disobeying God. I wouldn't have told you. In fact, I didn't even want to tell you because you should have better sense than you have. And then I'm forced because the Holy Spirit is forcing. You push them. Because send a dream to someone. Send them a prophetic word. They despise it to their own detriment. I've seen people despise words. You give them a word. In a few days, it comes to pass. Terrible word like this. I don't mean they said it and they thought. Written. Some. Specific. They are told specifically. Specifically. That is specific to a fault. They despise it. Then the thing comes to pass. This is the most wondrous one. This I have seen too. It comes to pass. That is, even a pure unbeliever that has never heard of Jesus would have come to you and say, that thing happened. I'm so sorry. I'm so stupid. It happened. I see the people that usually knew God. They go like, and do it again. That's why you hear me pray strange prayers. You hear me say, God, please, when the time comes, have in my heart, oh God, please, may I not feel pity for you? It's because of what I've seen. I say a pure unbeliever would fall on their face and say, child, it has happened though. I've seen people go like, wait till. And so, I'll do it again. And they do it again. I wonder when I see her. Hello. 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 No, one day I was preaching. I said, I don't know who it's for. It's a very scary thing and it might bother you. Me, I'm a pastor. I have a very soft heart. But literally, some people, my heart, I beg God, I say, harden this heart, harden it, put metal on it when it comes to some people. Yeah. And I was talking, I said, if they are burying you, I'll not come for your burial. Why should I? If I come, I open my mouth, I'll tell everybody everything about you, I'll stir all. I say, here lies a fool. You see this fool here? This person was warned 122 times, and it is today all. Now if you're here and you know you're a fool, in fact I'll come just to lead people to Jesus. I'll come, so I'll use it to bring people to Jesus Christ. I'll take an altar call there. Where you're lying, many people come and get born again. And your death would have achieved something like Samson. You achieve more in your death than in your life. What's wrong with you? God is very merciful, that I know. I have seen it. The kind of mercy God has, I don't understand it though, but I've seen it. I've seen God. When I've looked at people and said, this one, God has given up. The next thing, one miracle just happened for them. I'm like, God. And God is like, I told you my thoughts are not your thoughts. Now, before you nod your head till it comes out of the socket, say, hey, but which one now? Which one are you saying? I'm saying when he has kept showing you this mercy and showing you this mercy and showing you this mercy, don't you understand that he's trying to make you repent? Romans 2 verse 2. Romans 2 verse 4. Or do you disregard the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance? Now, if you go on to read the rest of this Romans 2, you will discover that after he gave all this mercy, by the time you get to verse 7, 8, 9, 10, you realize that he finally says, oh my kindness, you know they hear what? Oh yeah, drop this boy. That's the point I am making. I am not talking about when God is showing you kindness in spite of your foolishness. I'm talking about when he has shown you endless kindness. You have been convinced beyond reasonable doubt that God is kind. Because your problem was before, I know God does not even love me. I know God. So God now says, let me prove that I love you. Let me prove it. And he goes on and you try to say, you see now, this love is conditional. It's because I've not been too bad. I'm going to be extra bad. No. You see, he's going to reject me. And you get extra bad. And he doesn't reject you. He still comes to you. Speaks to you in dreams. Still sends people along the way to you. Still does all this. I am saying when he has done all this on top of all your foolishness, that is when trouble is knocking the door. Because he has contradicted you. He has told you, no, it is not, my love is unconditional. Alright, but my love has discipline in it. For him whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So, sweet child, obviously giving you biscuits is not working. I had hoped that positive, what do you call it? Affirmation would work. But it's not. So let's use negative. And he reaches up his hand, brings that again. That's when you start being motivated by demotivation. Are you understanding this? Oh, now love. Parents know it. Actually, this child, you're not listening. I said, don't do it. Every time you read your book, every time you do, didn't I give you sweet? Why are you not hearing? They have to bring a cane from where they are coming. And then they start flogging you. And suddenly you're very studious. That's called balance. And God is the most balanced one. God is the balanced one. He's the balancer of all things. He's the righteous judge. He balances things out. May you not despise God's mercy. May you wait on him instead. May you wait on him. May you wait on him. Let me finish this story and we pray and go over into our second service. So Saul waited 7 days for the time appointed by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And the troops began to desert for Saul. The soldiers started leaving him. So he said, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And he offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished doing what he was not permitted to do. As he finished doing Samuel's job. Just as he finished offering the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. And Saul went out to greet him. But we talk about waiting on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord. What have you done? Samuel said. Look at the consequences. Because Saul started telling long stories. Verse 13, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the command that the Lord your God gave you. Are you hearing what is the issue? The issue is keeping the commands that the Lord your God has given you. The issue is nothing else. It is keeping the command the Lord your God has given you. Stop looking for many things to do. God is not interested. God is interested in your keeping the commands He has given you. Any other thing is long term. If you had kept the command that the Lord your God had given you, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now, your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler over his people because you have not kept the command of the Lord. He repeated it. This is the summary of everything I've said this morning about waiting on the Lord. You wait on the Lord because God commanded it. You trust God because He commanded it. You obey God because He commanded it. God's commands are the basis for everything we should say or do. You don't obey commands because you like them. Sound doctrine and teaching is not enjoyable always. You do it because God commanded. It's humility, simple humility. God said you should do it. Do it. There's no bet. Don't you have respect? Be under authority. That's all. Is this clear? Saul is an example of someone that after this happened, instead of submitting, he started fighting God. Just like the fool I was talking about earlier. God told him, I found a man after my heart. Do you know what Saul did when he found a man? Who was the man? And what did Saul spend the rest of his life doing? Trying to kill him. That's them. That's them. They go like, eh? If I cannot be, you will not be. Imagine. And God proved to him that no one can thwart the will of the Most High. David died at a ripe old age. Him, they cut him down in battle. In fact, he fell upon his sword to commit suicide. A cowardly death. Was begging for people, please, can you stab me before these people? Please, just put this sword in. He was wounded. He killed his sons, likely saw them dead before his eyes, knowing that the end had come. That Samuel he didn't listen to, that he couldn't wait for. You see how his problems start. In case you don't know, this thing here, there was no wahala before here. There was no trouble before here. This is before Amalekite's matter of sheep and goats. So this is his first problem with God. Maybe God would have allowed him for, but he chose to fight the Lord God. And God told him, well, nobody has yet won me in arm wrestling. You couldn't win my smallest angel. You won't win me. It's not wise to fight the Lord. It's wise rather to wait upon the Lord. To wait upon the Lord. To wait upon the Lord. If we will wait, we will renew strength. How many of you are about to wait? How many of you want to receive grace to wait? The first step to waiting is going to be to give your life to Jesus. Listen, look at me, everyone. I'm not saying you can't write, but I'm saying you should look at me in between your writing. The first way you wait on the Lord is to give your life to Jesus. Simply, waiting on the Lord is obeying His commands. Like you wait on His commands. You don't act without His command. See what He told Saul. He said, because you have not obeyed the command. First of all, you wait on the Lord to know His command. You may further wait to understand the command. Then you may now wait till He tells you to implement the command. And you wait at doing the command until He tells you to stop. You don't stop till He... You wait simply. It's a lifestyle of... It may not be always physical waiting. It simply has to do with, I will only do what He says I should do. 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 What does he say you should do? If I ask you, what is God's plan for your life? What's your answer? If you don't know, then you need to wait some more. How long will I wait? 7 days? 7 years? It doesn't really matter. You wait as long as his command. Did he tell you to move? No. Then wait. Did he tell you to marry? No. Then wait. Did he tell you to get that job? Did he tell you to start that school? Did he tell you to give that money or borrow it? Or did he tell you? No. Then wait. The attitude is what matters. Lord, I am waiting on you. Lord, I'm depending on you. I must marry before this age. Is that what he said? Did you go and wait on him and he said, that is so? No, now, but you look at it now. I will not look at it. Those who wait on the Lord don't look at anything. They listen. I will stand upon my watch and see what the Lord will say. You listen for God. You don't act. It was very hard. I needed help. You won't understand. It was very hard. That's why I went. That's why I agreed. That's why. I have someone say he wants to marry a young lady, and then he says, but before I marry, I must be sure you can take him. When you take him and they dump him, you'll know. You need taking. You now be a single mother. Now that's not the worst thing on earth. That's not the big deal, sir. Just make sure you don't abort it. That's the big deal. Make sure you don't touch that child. You add more than on top of immorality. Now you're looking for trouble. Now you are looking for trouble. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. As an unbeliever, if you're not saved, you're not born again. First thing, you must wait. You must come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want my sins to be forgiven. I want a new heart. You wait on him till you get that new heart. It's usually quite simple. It doesn't take long. But you must. Those who go on with their life and say, no, don't worry. I've decided, you know, like New Year is coming now. I'm making New Year resolutions. I've decided that this coming year, there's nothing like that. Those who don't wait on the Lord will not renew strength. They will not, you will be weary. All those plans. How many of you have made plans, New Year resolutions in your life? How did it go? Because minus the Lord, it's a waste of time. Minus the Lord, it's a waste of time. Minus the Lord. Those who have strength are waiting on the Lord. You wait on the Lord. Lord, I would really like this year to start reading at least 5 chapters of the Bible every day or 10. I want to cover my Bible this year, Lord. Please now, give me strength. Please now, please now, please now, please now, please now. It says, okay, if you're serious, show up. Come by 5 tomorrow morning. And you show up with your Bible. Oh yeah, read that. And you read it. 2 chapters. Child, this is so hard. I thought you said you read. Yes, so stand up, hold the Bible, walk around reading it. Walk up and down reading it. Stand and read it aloud. Read it to your hearing. Put something in your ear so you can hear your voice. I don't want to disturb my roommate. Put something in your ear and read very quietly. You hear. You know, if you put your finger in your ear, you can hear your voice. So just quietly. And David said, I shall not do this thing, as the Lord's anointed. Continue. First day, oh God, I stopped at 1.5 chapters. What a shame. I'll continue in the night. I slept off. I did, I that. Whatever happened, I was distracted. I picked my phone. Stupid me. Quack, quack, quack. That's when you slap yourself back and forth. Do not slap yourself back and forth. Your roommate will not understand. But you're wondering. Keep trying. If you keep waiting, one day the Lord is going to go. Bring something. Pour it on his head. And the strength will enter you. It won't be 5 chapters. You'll be reading 15. You'll be wondering, where did this come from? It's what happens when people wait on God. It's what happens. It's a real thing. Everything I've described and all the millions I haven't described. Is it spouse? Is it job? Is it, what is it? If you practice waiting on God. He may not come when you want. 7 days may pass. That's why I tell people, stop giving God deadlines. That's why I tell my girls, don't let someone use you and fulfill their targets. I don't like it. I don't like it when guys say, my goals for this year, I must marry. And then you start looking for who to plug into that check. You have a checklist. Pick and plug. 1, 2, 3. Okay, write down the things you like. Dark. Tall. Slim. Educated. Really. Yeah, people, this one I've just done. I've gone on to pray. This thing I've just touched now. They don't like it at all. Are you saying God cannot give us the desires of our hearts? He can, if you delight yourself in Him. Stop reading half of the Bible. Stop it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you. Have you delighted yourself in the Lord? Now, I like singing. So did Michael Jackson. So does Lionel Richie. So does Voice to Men. They exist anymore. What are you talking about? To delight yourself in the Lord means to be soft in His hands. To yield to Him and obey Him. Have you been doing it? Jesus repeated the same point. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, then ask what you will. You want desires of your heart. How can you know desires when your heart is not My heart? Delight yourself in Me and you know My heart. And anything that is in line with My heart, I will give you. Because if you ask anything according to My will, I hear you. And if I hear you, I'll give you the petitions which you desire. Be 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. So for you to get whatever you want, My words must abide in you. That's how you delight yourself in Me. You sit with Me and listen to Me. And you start to know what I like. Every time I'm talking about tomatoes and how fresh tomatoes is good for the health. And I have money. And you say, Uncle, thank you. I'm about to go. Uncle, sorry, don't be angry. I've heard you say this thing many times and I'm confessing. Me, I don't like tomatoes at all. I don't touch tomatoes. But I decided I want to do it. But tomatoes are costly. Me, I'm looking. I don't even have normal money for transport. I really like to practice this thing you're saying. How many of you know your uncle is likely to give you money for tomatoes? No problem. No problem. Every week, take so it will stay fresh. I'm giving you 500 naira for tomatoes. How many of you know that's the kind of thing that happens? It's in line with His will. Not after I finish saying what He likes and talking against the evils of chocolate, spoke against the evils of all these biscuits and all these things. You finish, say, Uncle, thank you very much. Uncle, I'd like to buy some chocolate chip biscuits. Is your head correct? Are you trying to tempt your uncle? But is that not what we do? You don't care about what God likes. You don't delight yourself in Him. Then you ask Him for whatever you want. That is a false doctrine. It's very popular. And it's very false. And it is why people have many disappointments. And then they say, God failed me. I had faith. I even sowed seed faith. Next time, sow faith seed. You're trying to bribe God. You think God is a former or some Nigerian officials. So you settled him. A little thing for the angels. Yeah, because I don't know who you're giving for. That guy that came to you and said, no, if you give a seed here, God will move on your behalf. That's the 419. Go back. You won't see that office. In the spirit realm, it's not there. God did not send that person that came and said, you're here. Anything you want, just take a seat now. Anything you want, eh? You see me? I've said, man, I've not asked for money. I'm telling you the truth because usually the truth is free. You will not believe. You go around where they scratch your ear. Scratch his face. Tell me about marriage. I heard there's this ministry. The man just deals with marriage matters. Is that not enough for you to know and run? How can you talk about marriage day and night? Don't you know something is wrong? Nobody has that kind of calling, especially if you're a pastor of a church. Do you mean all you feed your children with one kind of food? Receive brain, Church of God, Nigeria. Receive brain. Someone has one thing, one kind, one consistent thing they repeat. And you're a pastor. I understand if you're a traveling minister. you have something you give, but that if people gather every time to hear the same thing, that's just bad. There's no clearer sign. God can't do that. Children, it's time for biscuits. Children, it's time morning, afternoon, night, three times a day or four. Coming biscuits. Every time. Those children walk around seeing biscuits. They see nothing else. Everything they can is on marriage. Is she the one? Is he the one? Are you the one? Are we one? We are one. Confusion has entered. Stop giving checklists to God. Let me advise you how to deal with God. You go to God and say, Papa, what do you think? Especially since God knows everything. It's called inquiry. Christians don't like it. Here is the one area I seem very strange. They don't inquire. They command. They appear and say, God, I decree. You don't decree to God. You don't decree to a king. Hear me. You don't decree to a king. Wow. Ignorance is bad, though. You look at a king and you decree to a king. You say, no, but that's what they taught me. Even if they tell you to put your hand in fire, do you grab? See, I've always been obedient like this. Do you do it? You don't pause. You say, wait, you said I should decree. You don't decree to a king. You say, I decree a thing. Not to the king. It's to your situation. To things that are below you. To demonic forces. Not to God. You don't decree to God. That's all I'll say for now. Let's stop giving up to all that David Yonggi Cho thought that, he said some teachings for dimension. I know there's a dimension when God is trying to teach people certain things. But be very careful. Oh, Church of God, may we mature. Oh, may God help us grow up. I don't have time to explain this thing. I want to close the first service. Maybe in the second service. Just know this, that it is better you ask God questions. Are there times when God gives you a blank check? Yes. Okay, I'll give you a car. God, can I ask which type? Okay. I like it to be red. This, that. Okay. What you don't know many times when it's like that he's the one that is putting those ideas in your heart. You don't understand that when God has put ideas in your heart and you ask for it and it comes to pass, you say, this is exactly what I asked for. When he's the one that put it. To be ignorant is not good. Do you know what some people do? They now go around demanding everything exactly the same. And then it doesn't happen and they say, I don't know what's happening again. My relationship with God is not like before. Yes, it is not. He has commanded you to grow up. I want those that are not born again, when we start to pray, I want to give you a chance to come. Or you backslidden, I want to give you a chance to come. You have not waited on the Lord. You started and then you walked out on God. I'm advising you to come back. And say, I'm sorry for walking out, for not waiting. You are supposed to wait until the time and the season. You are supposed to have waited. Don't be like Saul. Saul did not end well. The night before he died, he consulted with a witch. This is the Saul that had killed witches early in his reign. He had killed all the witches in Israel. Had hunted them down. This woman had escaped and hidden. Was one of the few survivors. But to show you the kind of company Saul was keeping, they were able to find a witch for him. His last consultation was for a witch. Why? With a witch. Because he was looking for the prophet Samuel, who was dead. He was so desperate to communicate with this same prophet that he used to disobey, that he went to raise him from the realm of the dead to listen to his advice. You may think in your life that you may never be so desperate as to need help from the same person you do not normally listen to. But I'm telling you, if that person is a true servant of God, the day will come when you will look and wish and pray for that person's counsel, input, impartation. Therefore, my counsel to you today is to not despise that which you have been given when you have it. Because someday, you may scour earth and heaven and you won't find it. And that may push you to consult with the forces of darkness. One day after consulting a witch, he was dead. Nobody plans to be very bad. What you plan is to just do a little wrong thing. You don't plan to be very bad. Nobody does. When you get impatient with doing what God says, not obeying God's command, becomes normal. God, that I waited on you, I trusted on you. Didn't I do what they said? I mean, they said I should be born again. I was born again for a whole 4 months. During that time, I did what they said. I thought. Don't touch with God. Wait. I'd like us to stand to our feet. The prayer point is, God, forgive me for being impatient with your commands. You are not permitted to be impatient with God's commands. You are commanded to be patient. Close your eyes and ask God to forgive you for all the times you have not waited for Him. All the times you did not wait for Him. All the times you acted ahead of Him. Pray, forgive me, my God, for all the times I went ahead of you. Instead of waiting for your counsel and your instruction, I ran ahead of you. While this prayer is going on, I'd like you, if you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, or you have not made a proper decision for Jesus before, come, let me pray with you. Everybody keep praying that prayer. Everybody needs that prayer. However, specifically, if you have not responded, you've actually, like I said, walked out on God, walk back now. Physically, come out. Don't come out in your heart. Don't say anything like, God sees in my heart that I'm submitting from where I am. Don't do that. Come out here. The same way you walk out on Him in the eyes of whoever. The same way people looked at you and said, this one that used to know God, why is she like this? That's the same way. You have to make a decision for Jesus openly. May none of us be like Saul, who blew his opportunities. Being impatient with God does not benefit. I want you standing here to pray and ask God to re-accept you. Mercy triumphs over judgment. His mercy is available. He's giving mercy. He's giving mercy. He's giving mercy. Collect mercy. Ask for mercy. Everybody, wherever you're standing, wherever you're standing, everybody, I want you to listen to me. You're going to pray again. Everybody, pay attention. We talked about how we depend on God. Sorry, on human beings. By being humble, you go and wait for them in their office. You go and wait for them in their house, outside their house. And you wait and wait because you want some benefits. Who has the greatest benefit to offer more than God? Nobody. Nobody in heaven or earth can give you a greater benefit than God. So I want you to not ask for forgiveness this time, even though it still needs forgiveness, but to say, God, I am asking you that you help me to keep waiting, that give me the strength to wait as long as it takes. And this one, I would suggest you should pray with great fire. You should pray with great passion. You should pray long and hard that God will give you the strength to wait on Him until He comes. That you will never walk away or turn your, you will never move till God has showed up and instructed you, that you will have the ability to not act without God's leading. Do you understand this? When you live that way, your life is benefited. The peace of knowing that you're in God's will, you cannot understand. The peace of knowing that you're in God's will, that even if you're in trouble, you know that God puts you in this trouble. You say, this trouble, God, you're the one that brought me here. Like Jesus was led into the wilderness for 40 days and night to be tempted. Jesus was led by the Spirit. The children of Israel were led out into the wilderness by God. There's a wilderness you enter. You know God brought you there. You can be sure manna will come. Water will be supplied. Are you understanding? But when you are led out into these places where God did not send you, God did not send you, that's when there's trouble. Then every day is torture because you feel abandoned because you did not wait on your God. You ran ahead of Him. You left Him behind. You didn't care where your God went. You didn't care what He did. You had a goal. You had a plan. You had a pursuit. The other day, someone told me about a young man that traveled, got admission or whatever he got outside the country. I don't know how many days later, a stray bullet took him out. He died. It was so painful. You left Nigeria to go and collect a bullet in America. What kind of thing? Is someone going to tell me that the Lord sent him? You're going to tell me the Lord sent him. Are there not bullets in Nigeria? You travel all the way to go and collect a bullet and die. I don't know if they'll ship. Do you know the cost of bringing back a corpse? Do you need a prophet to tell you that God did not send him there? There are too many things people do. Is it a marriage that happens today and in 1 week somebody is bloody? In 2 months the marriage is over? Do I need to tell you that God did not join it together? Because everything has put it asunder. It is not about starting a thing. It's about accomplishing it. It's about continuing it. So I am saying to you today that every single one of us must know the importance of waiting on God. Look at Saul. His kingdom would have lasted, but it ended with him. His family did not become a dynasty because he wouldn't wait on the Lord. I've shown you that waiting on the Lord is not just about staying in one place. It's also coming ahead and waiting. As I was talking about repentance, some of you that habitually, you don't appear before God on Sundays like this, that you have been free since morning. You just casually show up 1 hour, 2 hours after a meeting. You're not a serious person. I keep saying this because we have seen in visions angels standing and taking note of everything that happens. And they take note of who, when you came. They take note of how you came. They take note of what you're doing during the meeting. We've seen them taking notes, writing down things, looking at how your heart attitude is while it's going on. Some people, you come and you sleep almost throughout. Is that how they wait? Will you sit in front of a commissioner and be sleeping throughout and not shake yourself and stand up and drink water and do something? Wouldn't you show seriousness? You're meant to show seriousness. Sometimes you're praising the Lord. You don't open your mouth. Even if the song is simple, though you don't know it, the song is a simple song. Can't you just agree in your heart? Can't you just make a small sound if it has hallelujah in it? When you throw in a small hallelujah to the one you came to wait for, every one of us have fallen short in one way or the other in these things. I am saying that you should ask for strength to not be like that. That you should be waiting. Waiting is not to keep quiet passively and stand in one place. Waiting is to do whatever he said, to obey his commands. That is how to wait on the Lord. To obey his commands and not to obey anything else. That is how to wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord spiritually is not to lie down on your bed or kneel down in one place. That is not waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is doing only what God says per time. If you do that, God says he will give you strength. He will strengthen you. So I want you to pray, God, give me strength to wait. Give me strength to obey like I've never done before. Lord, give me strength. You better pray. This is not a time to whisper unnecessarily. Ask for strength like you mean it. Ask for strength like you mean it. For sure he'll come
to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth.
Now listen, you're going to sing it some more later, but I want you to know the words of that passage, Hosea chapter 6. He says, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of God. He will come. It's sure that it will come. It's established like the morning. The same way you know there will be a morning tomorrow. You can be sure the Lord will come. However, you must wait. Like you wait for the rain. You must wait. He will come like the rain. Does the rain always come when you want? But he will come. The rainy seasons will come. The Lord will show up. There will be seasons in your life when there's an abundance of the presence of the Lord. There are times when it seems there's an absence of the presence of the Lord. It doesn't matter. Your job is to wait for it. That is what we have seen this morning. Father, I'm praying for everyone here. You see their hearts and their minds. Father, I'm asking that you respond to their thirst and their hunger. Be it unto us according to your word. As we wait for you in obedience, as we continue to obey, even when we feel like not doing so, as we continue to obey, even when things are dry, as they continue to obey in spite of all the circumstances, mighty Father, I am appealing to you that you release upon them your rain and your words. Let the land be refreshed with your presence. As they comply Lord, reply. Let your goodness come. Let your mercy come. Let your grace come and let it stay. Let salvation, which belongs to you, who sits on the throne, be given to all who call in spirit and in truth. Yeah. Thank you, great God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So two announcements while you're still standing. Take your offering. If you have an offering in cash to give, you have it. You want to make a transfer, there will be a number on the screen. Listen to this. I'm going to pray for the offering and close this first service. I know many of you want to stay for the second service. Many of you came for the second service, so you met part of the first one. So just hold on. In the name of Jesus, I'm praying for your offerings. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to give, and I ask that you use it for your glory and your praise. Let it do us good. Yes, our giving may do us good. Let it multiply for the praise and glory and thanksgiving that belongs to God. And I'm asking you, God, that you will give peace and favor to all these ones, even this week, that grace and mercy shall accompany them. When they wait on you, Father God, reply. Let those that have waited so far, even with shortcomings, let mercy reach them and let answers begin to come. Yes, God, surprise them with the abundance of your goodness. Surprise them with the abundance of your kindness. This is my prayer. In the name of Jesus.
We pray God gives you understanding according to his word. May the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine on you, and give you peace, now and forevermore. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.